Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
And last week, Paul Mescal tried to give Stephen Colbert, in fact, the fact that I'm talking about accents and how to pronounce things, maybe I should say, last week, Paul Mescal tried to give Stephen Colbert a lesson in how to do an Irish accent on his late night talk show. And the results were, let's just say, not the best. Here, I'll give you a blast, will I? And this was just a little bit of this. Paul Mescal with Stephen Colbert.
What do we get wrong when those of us who aren't Irish, who love the sound of it, try it?
I feel like a general rule of thumb is with the, like, A-ors, like car, far. It's that kind of hard or. It's R.
R. That's right. Car. No.
Close. It's like, yeah, so say that car is far.
That car is far. Oh, yes. God, you hated that. You are being nice.
Okay, that's Paul Mescal and Stephen Colbert. But before Christmas, we were treated to another bout of awful Irish accents on screen with the release of Wild Mountain Time. I often, you know, no use getting into trouble about it. You know, are we justified in thinking that these accents are downright terrible, or are we being a bit harsh in Hollywood? Well, voice coach and director of Voice Matters, Paul Mussolides, he's worked with the likes of Catherine O'Hara, John Voight and Normal People's Daisy Edgar-Jones to develop their Irish accents. And Paul's on the line now. Paul, how are you doing? Are you all right? Are you an external one? I've forgotten where you are. There you are, yeah.
Hey, Dave, how are you?
I'm good indeed. Very good. Now, before I tell you what, like, you know, why is an Irish accent so hard to pull off? Or are you going to say, well, that's ridiculous, every accent is?
No. The Irish accent is a really hard accent.
Oh.
I think it's because there's so many of them, first of all. And, of course, everyone is a critic. And, you know, I always say to people that you can fit Ireland into Lake Michigan if you wanted to. But you go from one end of Lake Michigan to the other end and there's no difference in the accent. But you go 5 miles down the road here and it changes. So,
but hold on, is that not the same for England?
Beg your pardon?
Is that not the same for England?
What, put England in Lake Michigan?
No, what I mean is, like, I mean, there's a huge difference between Newcastle, Manchester, London and the distance.
There is. And that's because, you know, there absolutely is. And the regions make such a difference.
Yeah.
And you can equate it to all kinds of things. Yeah, but there we have so many accents. And I think that's why it's hard, because most non-Irish people think that there's one or two or three Irish accents, Belfast, Dublin, Cork. And I think that the film you mentioned, I mean, I think the problem there is that it seemed to be a little bit of everything kind of chucked into
yeah, that
into
might
the
be action. Such a bad idea. And I said, no, I haven't seen Wild Mountain Time. In fact, I don't even know if it's out yet, is it? I don't have no idea. Anyway,
I've only seen the trailer.
Yeah, I've seen the trailer. Yeah, jeepers, who hasn't? It was about 2 days here when nobody could talk about anything else. Okay, so hold on a second. Like, this whole business of the, like, you know, if they just think we have one accent, maybe because they know we're small, that they think, well, listen, it must be the same accent all over the place. Is that it?
It could be, but also there's confusion. I mean, I've met people who think they're doing an Irish accent and there's a little bit of Scottish thrown in there as well. And, you know, you'll hear them saying I, you know, as an A-Y-E, I, to saying yes. And, you know, that doesn't really exist here. And it's that confusion. I think as time has gone on and people have become more aware of Ireland and its influence around the world, but before it was the place where, you know, people came from.
People don't necessarily sometimes see the actual kind of criticism. I mean, I remember talking to an English guy saying, why at the end of a vowel, at the end of a word, why did they put in an or at the end? He said, what are you talking about? I said, well, like, you know, I have an idea that I'll go to Africa. And I'm going, no, we don't say that. Oh, yes, a lot of you do. Anyway, in terms of Daisy Edgar-Jones and Normal People, she sounded exactly like she should have. So how did you develop her accent?
Well, I was really lucky. We were really lucky because the director, Lenny Abrahamson, got me in really early and I actually worked with the five actresses who were down. It was their final audition before they actually chose who was going to play the part.
Oh, who were the other four? Who were the losers?
I'm not telling you that. But it was it. They were from all over. There were people from all over the world. But I think it was twofold. It was one to give the actors a bit of support before they went in, so at least they were being guided towards in the right kind of a direction. But also it was good for me to be able to hear where they were, to get a sense of how flexible and versatile they could be. And although I, you know, their ability to do the accent probably had nothing to do with getting the part, what we did know was that we had 4 months before principal photography. So I knew whoever got it, there would be lots of time. And that's a real I mean, that's not always the case. And
hold on a second. To do with getting the part. You're putting yourself down there, Paul, because, I mean, you know...
I mean when I was doing my hour with each of the actresses before they went in to do their chemistry test with Paul, you know, they some of them couldn't do the accent. Some of them could. They could do parts of it. None of them went in perfect, but it was afterwards. I knew that whoever was cast, with 4 months, we could get the person sounding like they were from Sligo.
Yeah, right, indeed. Okay, and I presume that was a good one to work on, was it?
Oh, it was brilliant. And to be honest with you, it was great in all kinds of ways because the director was really supportive. Daisy really wanted to work. And it was very relaxed. I spent maybe an hour a week for the first few weeks just getting Daisy into the country. And then... Yeah. We kind of upped the time and worked a bit more on it. So by the time we were maybe a month away, I thought we were doing really, really well. And you know when an actor's doing well because they start asking questions about, you know, I heard someone saying don't instead of don't. You know, like they were maybe adding in a little extra bit of rounding at the end of a word, and which is right. And of course, you know, you could have somebody in the same town and they might have differentiations in their accent. So I always find that it's not a good idea to say this is the accent. I think it's much better to get them into the country, get them in the general location, and then what I try to do is to find a real person that they can model. So they can actually listen to a real person talking, their rhythms, the sounds that make the pauses, even the way they breathe, all that kind of stuff adds to the authenticity of it.
Yeah, of course. By the way, we're talking to Paul Mussolides. 51552 is our text. And judging by some of the things you're saying there, timing is just about an awful lot of it, isn't it? Like getting enough time to mould the actor's accent.
Yeah, and that's not always, it's not always possible.
No.
And, you know, it's a combination. Sometimes, you know, sometimes an actor will arrive with a preconceived idea of what the accent is. And they can be shocked. They can be shocked that... I remember the very, very first film I worked on was a film called Last of the High Kings. It was Ferdinand McKenna's book turned into a film. And Jared Leto was in it. He was playing a schoolboy from Hoth.
I remember.
And it was great because
and the father would come home and crash the car into the gate. Do you remember that?
That's right. Yeah.
And I remember there was one scene, if I remember right, the old guy with Jared Leto was going around with his younger brother, I think, and he was playing on one of those little bouncy ball things where you sit on it and they go boink 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 down the road.
Hoppers.
That's the one.
Yeah, well done. That's very good. Yeah. And but he was great to work with because he didn't have any concept of the accent. So it was literally starting from scratch and he didn't do a half bad job. And but what was interesting, Catherine O'Hara, the wonderful actress who people know from Schitt's Creek and the Home Alone films and all.
Yeah,
and
she's the mother in Home Alone and she's the wife.
Yeah,
and the mother.
But she's second, third generation Irish. And I thought what was really interesting, we were sitting, I think it was in Castlenock College on the grass on a sunny day, just working on the accent. And she just turned to me and said, Paul, I'm not sure I can do this accent. And I went, what do you mean? And she said, well, to me, it doesn't sound Irish. You know, like a middle-class Hoth accent is not the perceived accent that many people in North America would have. And that was the first time I encountered that. And she said, you know, people expect me to do an Irish accent because I'm second generation Irish and they'll think I'm doing an English accent. And I thought, well, that was really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the Pierce Brosnan, it wasn't Taffin, but it was a movie where he was looking for trying to find his son, trying to get custody of his son. And Pierce Brosnan is from County Meath, and he was obviously Irish in it and that. And his Irish accent was one of the worst I've ever come across. It was dreadful.
Well, it's interesting. I was listening to you talking to Cathal MacNaughton earlier on, and the special set of skills and Liam Neeson. I mean, I think that generation of actors, you know, Liam Neeson or Pierce Brosnan or even Gabriel Byrne, you know, if ever they do other accents, the pressure wasn't so severe. I don't think that generation of actors had that kind of pressure that we do now. But I mean, if you look at our more recent younger actors, Colin Farrell, Saoirse Ronan, Cillian Murphy, Ruth Negga, they've all excelled in doing other accents.
Yeah.
And the reason is because they have to, because the tolerance level in the United States is zero. You know, you either can do it or you can't. Whereas I think we're a bit more generous over here in terms of that.
Well, then, like getting to the nub of it all, do you use a couple of reference voices when you're training an actor's accent and then one specific person's voice maybe to replicate? Is that the way you do it?
Yeah, well, just to give them a sense of the rhythm. I mean, ideally what you do is you get them into the country as soon as possible, because then it's all around them and they can really, really hear what's going on. And that's how you know they're getting it. I was working recently on a show that's being shot at the moment. Well, not at the moment because of COVID, but with an English actor called Charlie Cox, and he's actually played more non-English. I think he was Daredevil. He played American in that. He played Northern Irish guy in Boardwalk Empire. And he contacted me about 4 months, 5 months before they started shooting, and said, "I really want to nail this. I always want to be as authentic as possible." And I sent him several accents. It was a Dublin accent, and said, "You know, do you like any of these?" And we actually—I'm not going to tell you who it was because I don't know if the person knows that we're using him as the as the guy. But it was an ex-footballer, not one that we would know, but he was a professional footballer and he had to retire early. But we just loved the rhythm of his voice, the way he spoke, the way he engaged, even the kind of syntax that he used. And Charlie was able to really focus in on that. And then, similar to Daisy, over a few months we worked on it. So by the time he arrived, he was about 90% ready. And then it's just hearing what's around you. Yeah. And that's wonderful. That's when you have the actor who really wants to get into it and they have the time, it generally doesn't go wrong.
Okay, well then, you say Daisy, as in she played Marianne, the lead, female lead in with Paul Mescal in Normal People. It was a middle-class Sligo accent, and it sounded like a middle-class Sligo accent, I presume. But, you know, in one way, is that like a middle-class Irish accent? Could that, you know, is it anywhere?
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, I think there's a... Maybe it's a stereotype, I don't know, but that kind of, you know, can I point a Heineken sort of idea. But, you know, you can spread that down to Cork, and you'd also have that. You'd have a similar sense of the word. You know, when Paul Mescal was talking to Stephen Colbert, yeah, and they were using the car yeah, is far. Yeah. And I thought that was brilliant because car is a really, you know, if you think about the word car, you know, in Dublin, car or car, or if you go up north, you know, you have differences between kyar and car.
Yeah.
Or in England, car, or even the north of England, ka. You know, it's a really brilliant sound because the length of the A and the R really changes the way that it comes across. And even though Stephen Colbert was trying really hard to get it, he just, because his mouth shape won't facilitate it, because he would normally be saying car.
Well, then, hold on a second. On that, like, is there a case then where you didn't exactly have the time to develop an Irish accent, but an actor just nailed it?
Well, again, you see, you know, there are some people who just have fantastic ears, and I mean, if you look at impressionists, you know, the people like the Après Match guys or Mario Rosenstock or any of those guys who do wonderful impressions. I mean, they can tune into something, and then of course they expand it and elaborate it to make it comedic or whatever, but you can look at them and go, "Oh, that's brilliant." And we can all probably go, "Yeah, all right, mate." And we can all say, "Oh, how's it going?" And we can all do the little phrases. But actually, when you have to start not only having a conversation and embodying the whole accent, I think that's when it becomes much harder. And I worked on a film, it's a while back now, but it was called The General. It was a John Boorman film.
Oh, yeah.
And I was working with the cast and everyone was doing fine, but we were waiting for John Voight to arrive into the country. He was playing the detective who was part of the Tango squad that was following the general. And John Boorman said to me, "Paul, when John gets here, you know, I want you to get started with him straight away." And I said, "Well, how long does he have before we start shooting?" He said, "Oh, 4 days." And I was kind of, "Oh my God, that's really an awful..." And it was a West Cork Kerry accent. So that's hard. And he said, don't worry. He's a brilliant mimic." And that didn't fill my heart with joy, I have to say. But it was when he arrived, we met and we kind of sat down, and I had planned all I put all his words into vowel categories and, you know, tried to give him a really good, solid foundation as an introduction. And after about half an hour, he just wasn't getting it. We weren't getting on. And he just stood up and walked out of the room and locked the door with me in it. And I thought, "Oh God, what's going to happen? I'm going to be fired." And about 10 minutes later, he came back and he went, "Right, we're not leaving here until we've cracked the back of this accent." and he'd gone to order coffee and sandwiches because he knew that this accent was considerably harder than maybe he'd expected, but he had a really good ear. And we didn't leave that room for about 5 hours, and then I got to work with him every day until we started shooting. But the key was not just what I did, but also our Garda consultant on the film was a guy from West Cork, Kerry. So he actually had the basics, the foundations, yeah, the technical stuff, but then he could also hear the rhythms. And sure enough, he didn't do a half bad job. I thought it was great.
You know, I'm just thinking, like, when I see somebody or hear somebody like Oliver Callan, I'm just amazed at what he can do in the space of 10 seconds and go from one to the other in terms of mimicking that. But you just said there, you know, that you were told you had 4 days and that he was a brilliant mimic. And like, that really didn't make you happy. Which didn't make you happy? 4 days or the brilliant mimic?
Both.
Really?
No, that he was a brilliant mimic was good. But I just, you know, I thought, well, I don't want people doing a generic or a generalization.
Yeah,
you know,
I get you. Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you can pick up on, you know, we can all do a few words of Donald Trump or Micheál Martin, but, you know, but you couldn't do a whole conversation.
Well, then hold on. At the end of the day, when people see something, are you like the referee? In other words, like, you can only be wrong and if you're ever talked about.
Well, you know, that's really interesting because when you're working with an actor, you're really at your... You have to build up that trust because they are very vulnerable, especially if they're not familiar with an accent, and they are basically depending on you to tell you whether they're right or wrong. Now, of course, other people will have opinions, directors, producers, other actors. Sometimes even the film crew will jump in with not very helpful advice. But, you know, that you are actually saying, well, no, that's not right. And, you know, and that's a tough decision because, you know, actors have to embody it. I mean, just your brain, body and voice has to come together, and you're really putting yourself up for a knock, not just for your accent, but for any level of performance. I have huge respect for actors, you know, and what they do, because they are creating something for us, which we hope will be believable. So yeah, they you are in a way the referee, but you have to also balance it out. And you kind of go, I would rather, let me put it this way, I would rather somebody was 85% accurate 85% of the time than 100% accurate 30% of the time, you know, because...
Well, like, speaking of the time, we're slightly running out a bit here, so I'll tell you, I want to play a tiny little bit of this and I want you to tell me what's wrong with it. Wild Mountain Time.
Welcome to Ireland. Rosemary Muldoon. Yeah! Besotted with love.
There's these green fields and there's us, whatever that is. Holds me here.
It's not normal.
I don't care.
You take after John Kelly, and that man was mad as the full moon.
Rosemary, we're known to each other quite a while now. Would you marry me?
How many days do we have while the sun shines?
It's not shining.
I believe that it is.
Will you call a seagull?
All right, now, Paul, I presume you didn't get the call, did you? You didn't do that.
I didn't know. Thank God.
I mean, where would you start with all that, anyway, if you did?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I was listening to it again, and if you took any one of those words or vowels, like, you can say that it's 75% right in a lot of the cases. I mean, right, it's not that it's completely wrong. I mean, they're not doing, you know, a German accent. They're about 75% right in a lot of the cases, but it's that additional 25% that, you know, even the word rosemary, you know, like rosemary. All you have to do is kind of make that into a row, you know, like a row rosemary.
Yeah.
And like I said, you can go all, I mean, that to me was an amalgamation of practically every Irish accent on our island. I think that's the problem. You know, the other thing is that there's a lot of air going on in there, and I think that's a common mistake that I find non-Irish actors making when they're trying to do an Irish accent. They put a lot of air, like, you know, where, and it becomes almost too floaty. But the problem is that you might have a air coming through the WH, but if you stop putting into other words, you're like, where ya? And even if I speak with my own accent and I start putting in lots of air, it begins to sound a bit leprechaun-y. And I think it's a case of just knowing to get that extra 25% to nail it, because I don't think any actor goes into a role and says, you know, I want to do a terrible accent. I mean, I that's definitely not the case. But maybe they didn't have enough time. Maybe they didn't have good information. I mean, also the writing seemed a bit, it seemed a bit twee, a bit kind of quaint.
There is that 90s. One too. But like I mean, 12 hours ago, Conor McGregor was beaten in the second round. But the Conor McGregor story is huge in the United States. Do people ever sort of say, this is what he says, can I not do it like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mentioned Charlie Cox earlier on. He came to me and said to me, how come you want me to say you? He's doing a Dublin accent, you. And Conor goes, you.
Yeah.
And I was kind of going, well, there you go. It's a different. I mean, if you want
maybe
to
you
go,
said, there you go. You know,
there you go. You can do that if you want. You know. But I love that he was able to identify it, because now we know we're in the right. We're looking at two options which are both perfectly correct.
Yeah, indeed. Okay. So, where are you going next? There's no movies being made at the moment, are there?
No, I've been working on Valhalla, which is the next Netflix follow-on to Vikings. We've shot the first 10 episodes of that. I'm working on that thing with Charlie, which is called Kin, and then another, Modern Love, which is an Amazon Prime thing. I was working with Kit Harington, who's also doing a Dublin accent.
All right.
Again, he contacted me 3 or 4 months ahead of time, and I'm hoping he's going to be wonderful, because when you have time, that's the key.
Right, indeed. That's the key. Paul Mussolides. Paul, thanks a million for talking to us on the programme today. Just want to see, you are a voice coach and a director of voice matters. Is that your full title, yeah? That's very highfalutin.
If you have a name like mine, you'll take anything.
Come on, Paul. Thanks a million. Take it easy. Good luck. All right, bye.
Dave Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.